Welcome. My job is obviously to introduce our speakers. I'll start with a joint bio because I was told that I actually think Amanda and Nikki don't look at all the same, but apparently they get mixed up, and if you read their bios, you can understand why, because it's largely the same. So we'll just head off with that Amanda and Nikki are directors of a new consulting firm, Actuarial Edge, specialising in general and health insurance, self-insurance and data analytics. They've both got well over 10 years of experience in workers' compensation through their employment at WorkSafe Victoria, and prior to that for Amanda at Tillinghast and for Nikki at PwC. Despite their very similar work backgrounds and apparently very similar looks, they do have some distinguishing features, and I should have read this bit before. Obviously, one's brunette, one's blonde. Amanda enjoys meditation and yoga in her spare time, whilst Nikki enjoys running and netball, and I think in netball terms a fairly aggressive sort of game, from what I understand. Yifan Fu is a senior actuary at Aon Benfield. He's got over 10 years in the reinsurance field, specialises in reinsurance analytics, including reinsurance pricing, catastrophe modelling, DFA, capital modelling and portfolio optimisation. He's currently a member of the GIPC and a fellow of CAS. But does that mean you're not a fellow of the Institute?
As well.
You are as well. Good, good, because otherwise we'd be chasing you for fees. So who am I handing over to? Yifan's going to start us going, and that's who you came to see, not me.
Thanks, Daniel. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for coming to this session. Be mindful, this is the session before lunch, so we'll keep running on time, or we'll try. So this is the agenda of the day. I'll start with the presentation, with the purpose of our survey, talk a bit about the schemes participated, cover a few survey questions which might of interest to you. Then I'll hand over to Nikki, talk about some interesting, really interesting case studies, and Amanda will conclude with the challenges and opportunities. Right. Data analytics has been big business for many different professions and industries. We thought it would be quite interesting to explore how injury schemes are currently doing, how using data analytics to drive positive scheme outcomes, both locally in Australia and overseas. So what we did is we started with a short nine-question survey, which I will talk about a bit more in details in the next few slides. Based on the survey outcomes, then we select a few schemes. We follow up with phone calls or emails to explore some case studies, which can be success stories, lessons learned, challenges, which Nikki will talk a lot more in details shortly. These are the 18 schemes participating in our survey. So a big thank you for everyone who participated and taking this opportunity. We would also like to thank Julie Evans. She's doing the presentation next door for her review and her helpful feedback on our paper. Out of the 18 schemes, we have 12 schemes from Australia, which is, I think we have at least one scheme from every single state. And we have six schemes overseas, from ranging from our neighbour across the Tasman Sea to North America, continental Europe and United Kingdom. So it's fairly good representation both locally and overseas. So these are the non-question survey we actually asked the schemes. For detailed questions and responses, please refer to our paper. So it's in the attachment one. The survey started the definition of data analytics, which trying to get a common understanding of the definition, what we believe was inside data analytics, followed by the spectrum. So we did ask every single scheme what they feel they sits on the data analytics horizon. The next question focused on how data analytics is conducted, whether it's in-house, external, or a combination of both. Question 4 and 5, which is the frequent topic, which software packages do the schemes use and what data sources are they performed this analysis based on. Question 6, explore different areas data analytics was used by different schemes. It's actually quite interesting. I'll cover question 4 to 6 in the next few slides. Question 7, then look at the range of users of data analytics output. The survey results actually showed quite a big range of the users, ranging from the case managers of the scheme to the mid-level management, all the way up to the board and the exec, as well as external stakeholders alike. So it's a fairly wide audience of the analytics output. Question 8, look at the who's involved in data analytics. So whether it's just actuaries, data scientists, or a much broader group of people inside the organization. The last question, look at the challenges of the schemes, which Amanda will talk in more details. Now, some of the scheme findings. So this graph actually, based on the survey response from question 2 and question 4, on the horizontal axis, this is where each of the schemes self-assess themselves, where they're sitting on data analytics. On the vertical axis, shows the average number of softwares each schemes or each group of schemes they have used so far. A couple of observations. First one is there's a large proportion of organizations, so rank themselves either as the regular user or advanced user of data analytics. So 9 out of 18 and 5 out of 18, so over 75% believe they are regular advanced users of data analytics. On the software side, still the traditional software, Excel, SAS, SQL and Access, still the most frequently used softwares. Actually, we use them a lot for the traditional pricing and underwriting, but these are also the ones used for data analytics. Then the other observation is quite a wide range of different softwares, so especially for the advanced user, the regular advanced user. Some really a state-of-the-art or highly advanced ones, such as SPSS, Emblem, Hadoop, Tableau, and ClickView. So all these ones, different softwares, some of the schemes are already utilizing those. The next one is the data sources, which as actuaries we're always interested or important topic for us. A couple of observations. First, structured data is still heavily relied upon for most schemes. So this is the number one data source people are basing their analysis on. Then external data, both public and third-party available data has been utilized and quite commonly used. Then interesting to know that that's the one, qualitative information, both internal, public, external, or third-party, all being fairly commonly used in the analytics. So people are factoring all these qualitative assessments. And the last point is the use of unstructured data. Still quite difficult. When we talk to a couple of schemes, it's a common issue for the schemes the participants raised. It's still quite difficult to try to cleanse in data or format the data into one stream that is more user-friendly for the analysis purpose. The next page is the areas. So data analytics has been quite widely used in a number of areas for different industries. So for the schemes in particular, our survey lists 7 areas, which is the blue and the yellow ones, and we ask the schemes to nominate any additional areas they're using, which is the gray ones on the right. The blue boxes shows the top 3, top 4 actually, the most commonly used, which is they still list the pricing and reserving in the top most frequent use areas. It's quite interesting to see fraud detection. So about 4 or 5 schemes actually nominated fraud detection. It's already one of the common areas they're using for data analytics. The other finding is actually marketing and customer service is ranked fairly low by those schemes we surveyed. Our interpretation is maybe because of a lot of the compulsory in nature for the schemes. So they are less marketing reliance compared with like the supermarket chain or airline industries where marketing is a big focus for them. It's quite interesting to note that some other areas, the areas within the 3 of us didn't thought of when we putting the survey together, such as human resource, performance monitoring, accident prevention, it's already some schemes are using those areas. Now I'll pass on to Nikki to talk about some of the interesting case studies.
Thanks, Ivan. So we had a number of case studies that the various schemes generously shared with us, and it would have been great to include them all, but it would have made for a very long paper. So we chose to focus on four, and the four that we chose had quite different business issues. And interestingly, they spanned the spectrum of complexity of modelling, the tools that they used, and the challenges that they faced. So we've included these for those purposes. So the first one looks at claims management. TAC found that their common law experience was escalating, with a greater proportion of their clients pursuing common law damages, increasing their costs and delaying their settlements. So TAC's goal was they wanted to improve the benefit delivery speed for clients who were pursuing common law, and also to make more efficient usage of their limited resources. So they used qualitative input to identify potential predictive data fields and then a multivariate logistic regression model to test the predictive ability of those fields that they had identified. They used a number of tools for this project. They built the model in SPSS and in SAS, and then they implemented it in Excel with macros to create more of a user-friendly interface. TAC attributes the success of this project to the collaborative approach that they adopted. It also appeared to us that they were quite successful in being able to transform the output of what was quite a complex model into an actionable tool. Next one is service delivery. WorkSafe's business issue was dissatisfaction by their stakeholders with red tape. And for those of you in the audience who are not familiar with that term, red tape's often associated with arduous processes and systems that delay decision timeframes. So WorkSafe's goal was they wanted to improve their decision timeframes for treatment services that would ultimately end up being paid for anyway. So in particular, they wanted to improve the service experience for their workers, reduce red tape for providers, and reduce the workload and enable more autonomy for their case managers. So this project looked a bit different in approach. It was quite an iterative process. They had a lot of consultation and engagement with their various stakeholders, and then they drilled down into their data to identify potential target cohorts. They used text mining and further qualitative input from some of their stakeholders, such as medical specialists and SMEs. So one part of the text mining involved searching through free text, looking for character strings so that they could identify very specific surgery types. They use SAS and Excel to combine and analyse their data from a number of different sources, including payment and invoicing systems, treatment request and processing database, service survey database, and audit reports. Whilst the analytical methodology was quite straightforward or not overly sophisticated, the high level of stakeholder engagement, qualitative input, and buy-in appeared to us to be quite key facets in the success of this project. The next one focuses on health and safety. WorkSafe BC were keen to explore ways to assist employers to focus on making health and safety improvement investments. The project aimed at reducing injuries by improving information that was available to employers. So I've just got a short video here that shows how one employer was able to successfully utilise the end tool that they were able to build.
Is there anyone able to help technically in the back? No? Anyone here?
Meant to just click.
There's not a mouse on the screen.
No. Oh, hello.
Yeah, act it out, you think? Maybe not today. We might come back to it.
Maybe I'll read the rest of it while we're waiting for that. So WorkSafe BC utilised an operational data warehouse to pull data together from various sources, such as workplace inspections, prevention activities and insurance payments. A custom-built tool on .NET was used, along with charting tool Infogistics, to present the reporting online.
My name is Michael Monkman. I am the safety advisor for Brewers Distributor Limited. The costs of accidents, of course, are one of the driving factors that will get the attention of the executives here. When I looked at it, I saw that they were spending like $750,000 just that last year for musculoskeletal injuries, and the activity was moving kegs. To me, it was quite clear, why are they even lifting kegs up to start with in the first place? That's what the toolkit showed me. Huge amount of money being spent on people lifting and moving kegs around. So I used this data to went to management and said, the cost of providing each truck with a manual keg lifter is about 1/30th the cost of your compensation costs for this year. So what I propose is if we did put these in place, we spend that money, within 1 year we got our payback. We purchased 25 mechanized keg lifters. We just got them in place this year. To date of June in this year, we had one back injury. Last year we had 17 before we were using these.
So that was just one employer, how they use the tool to aid their business decision about how to improve their injury experience. It was interesting, this project, because the data analytics methodology was not necessarily needing to be quite complex, but it did have a really useful impact and address the business issue for WorkSafe BC. And it also showed the value of using some of the newer software out there. And then our last case study that we've included looked at return to work. So Return to Work South Australia wanted to have an objective way of measuring performance of their return to work service providers and to have a process to identify areas that those providers should be focusing on improving. So the aim was to build a tool with a high level of integrity to measure performance and display the output in a simple way. The end product that was built was called CAPO. It involved the collaboration of a team of statisticians, management, return to work specialists, actuaries. The analytics was complicated. It required to simultaneously adjust for differences in provider portfolios while measuring performance objectively. Return to Work South Australia also then got external consultants to validate the statistical analysis involved. Return to Work South Australia found the combination of software that they used worked really well. SAS was used for data extraction and statistical modelling, particularly the GLM component, and they used a range of other modelling functionalities. They then used Tableau for the presentation of the modelling diagnostics, with such things as histograms and scatter plots. They used these two packages together, and they sort of used an iterative approach where they enabled their models to be changed as data was refreshed and they could update their outputs. Excel was used for final calculations and for the presentation of their results. So Return to Work South Australia reflected that their biggest hurdle was taking the findings from a quite complicated methodology and presenting them in a simple way, an easy way for their end users to use and then have actions following that. It was also quite important to get buy-in and acceptance from the providers of what could be perceived as a black box model. So we found these four case studies quite interesting. They showed the array of work that's being undertaken in the data analytics area, from something that was quite complicated in Return to Work South Australia through to more straightforward methodology used by WorkSafe BC. There was a number of different new software tools being used. WorkSafe BC was one that were using some quite new software. And the projects took quite different lengths of time, ranging from about 9 months through to 3 years. So I'll pass over to Amanda now, who will talk about some of the challenges faced by the schemes and some opportunities.
So one of the questions that we asked schemes were, what are the top three challenges that you've found in using data analytics within your scheme? And to take some of the work off us, I'd like someone brave from the audience to volunteer what they think one of the top one or two challenges might have been. And if I get no volunteers, I might use a Norman Swan approach, so please put your hand up. Come on. What do you think? Yep, definitely data was number two on the list. And the first on the list was IT systems. So some of the challenges that they talked about in relation to IT systems included being able to keep up with demand. So obviously, as we're trying to use more and more data, and we're trying to do more with that data, we've got to make sure that IT can actually keep up with what we're trying to do. One scheme mentioned that model enhancements can be particularly tricky. So WorkSafe BC said that they built this online tool for employers, but now they're finding whenever they want to make changes to that tool, it can be quite costly because they've got external providers involved, and it can be very time-consuming as well. So something that they might have thought might take a week can end up taking a few months. And then several schemes talked about high cost of various software packages as well. So obviously there are packages like R and Python that are free, open source, and other packages like SAS and SPSS that I've heard referred to as very not free. One tip that schemes had in relation to these challenges was to involve the IT department up front. So don't go to them at the end with your fully formed project and say, put it into place, and for them to come back and say, actually, we can't do it. Make sure you get them involved up front so together you can identify any potential roadblocks and work your way around them. So thanks, Alan. Yes, the second challenge was data, and there were quite a few challenges, again, related to data issues. So one being, what do you collect? You need to have some foresight as to what you might want to use data for down the track to know what you want to collect today. Reliability of data can be an issue. So particularly when you have case managers who are already very busy spending time inputting data into the system in hundreds of different fields, some of those fields might be reliable to use and some of them may not be, and it's important to know how reliable your fields are when you're using them. And combining multiple data sources, I'll talk about on the next slide how this represents an opportunity, but it comes with some challenges as well. So obviously anyone who's tried to link multiple data sources will know that it's not always obvious how to link those data sources together and how do you manage the volume of all that extra data. And some of the software that we've talked about and cloud-based platforms like Hadoop may help to overcome some of these issues as schemes adopt them more and more. Another issue flagged by most schemes that we spoke to was stakeholder buy-in. And every scheme that we spoke to in relation to the four case studies that Nikki presented said that stakeholder buy-in was critical to the success of their projects. And they suggested that in order to gain stakeholder buy-in, you need to make sure you've got effective communication. So that can include having flexibility in communication style, so making sure if you're talking to senior management, keep the messaging high level, don't bombard them with all the technical stuff. Whereas if you're presenting to a more technical audience, they probably do want to know some of the detail of what you've done and how you've done it. Then another challenge that was identified, and I think this one comes up any time there's a discussion about data analytics these days, is privacy. And particularly within injury schemes that collect a lot of information about individuals that is private, a lot of personal information, it's really important to strike that right balance between an individual's right to privacy and the appetite of the scheme to be able to use as much information as possible to be able to operate as effectively as possible. One scheme that we spoke to said that it's really important to be able to prove that data is being used legitimately and sensitively as one way to overcome some of these issues that people might have about their data being used. So that can include aggregating the information and the results that you're presenting, depending on the audience. If it's an internal audience, you may not need to aggregate it as to such a high level, whereas if you're presenting externally, you might need to use some more aggregation to keep private information confidential. And then the last challenge, there were a lot of other challenges that were discussed as well, but the last one that I'll talk about now, it relates to expertise. So for those of you who attended the data analytics seminar recently, there was discussion about this data analytics unicorn, who's someone that has not just technical ability in terms of mathematical, statistical and modelling skills, but is also a lateral thinker, can be confident to get up and communicate, has effective communication skills, and can even negotiate with stakeholders when needed. So often when these skills can't be found in a single person,
then a team of experts might be the solution to bring all those skill sets together to complete the project. So we'll finish off by talking about some of the opportunities that schemes identified in this area. And the first one is being able to extend analytics into other functions of a scheme. So as Ifan talked about earlier on, currently schemes are already using data analytics quite extensively in areas such as pricing, reserving, claims management and fraud. But there are other areas that they're only just starting to use data analytics within, and some schemes identified they're not yet using them here, but they'd like to. So areas like injury prevention, customer service, marketing, human relations, human resourcing. And I suspect that that list is almost endless in terms of opportunities for using data analytics within a scheme. And being able to use an existing data analytics resource within your scheme in new areas can represent a quick win. If you can demonstrate the effectiveness of data analytics in these new areas to senior management, that can increase their appetite to want to provide more funding for data analytics going forward. As I mentioned on the last slide, data integration is both an opportunity and a challenge. So again, Ifan talked about many schemes, or all schemes, are already using internal data to some extent, but a lot are looking at external sources of data as well. So this can include hospital and ambulance records, trauma and mental health registries, police data, in Australia, MBS and PBS data. And on top of being able to look at both internal and external data, we also saw that some schemes are starting to experiment with unstructured data. So as an example, WorkSafe BC in Canada has recently employed a university student to conduct a project where he's analysing news stories, local news stories, to identify health risks that they might not otherwise pick up. And through this project, they did pick up a health risk relating to secondary use of shipping containers, where they're being used sometimes to store chemicals. And WorkSafe BC said that without this analysis of the unstructured data within the news stories, they wouldn't necessarily have noticed that or picked up that health risk until maybe something had happened. The third opportunity here is new tools and software that are available within the data analytics area. So these tools can help to better gather data, better store data, and even in processing data, and therefore improve the timeliness of analysis. And several schemes talked about using packages like ClickView and Tableau to help them improve the visual display of their results. So for those of you who may not have seen this presentation before, Hugh Miller from Taylor Fry presented on the pros and cons of different software packages at the GI seminar last year, and I'd strongly recommend you have a look at that presentation if you're interested in understanding a bit more about these different packages. And then finally, there's obviously opportunity, as we know, by attending a seminar like this, to learn from others. And I think we can have a look at organisations outside of injury schemes. So, for example, supermarket chains who invest quite heavily in customer relationship analytics. Supermarkets are obviously a little bit different to injury schemes. One is trying to get their customers in the door and spend as much as possible. The other is trying to get their customers or clients independent of the scheme and get them maybe out the door. But despite these differences, I think injury schemes can learn about how supermarkets are taking a more customer-centric approach. And we saw an example yesterday with TAC talking about their longitudinal study of client outcomes as a way to use a more customer-centric approach to improve the health of their clients. And obviously we can learn from each other as well. We don't even need to go outside of injury schemes, but continuing this discussion within Australian injury schemes and looking overseas as well, I hope that we can keep the discussion going on some of the success stories that different schemes are having and some of the new approaches that schemes are using. Thank you.
Okay, now it's your turn. We've got 10 minutes for questions, or maybe 8 minutes, so you can get to be first in the queue rather than at the back and wait an hour for lunch. So please, there's a microphone there, over there. Ask your question, name, organisation, you know the drill. And I don't see a roving mic, so you're going to have to come up here to answer. So any questions, please? Please. Thank you.
Peter Martin. Question about any messages in this for the Institute in terms of trying to prepare its members to, you know, play a leading role in this field.
Thanks, Peter. I don't know if there are any new lessons from this. I think the Institute has obviously recognised that data analytics is an area that a lot of actuaries are keen to get into. I know that some actuaries think it sounds really interesting, think it sounds like something they're sort of already doing but they'd like to do more in. And so the Institute is already quite focused on working out ways to help actuaries who want to move into the area learn how do they improve their skills. So, no, I don't think there's anything new from this, but it probably just is encouraging for us that we saw a number of examples of actuaries already involved in this area within injury schemes.
Hi, Elaine Grace. I guess just looking into the future, where can you kind of see this going in 10 years, 15 years with, I guess, the whole technology of Fitbits and more data available?
I guess now, based on the survey findings, I actually think it's, I would say it's a part of studies. But now with the new technology and things, I mean, I think it's a lot of automated process. So we design a system, so as soon as your data is recorded, analysis is done. One is the collection of data, so it's instant, and then the simultaneously the analysis already been starting to conduct it, and the last point is actually the live feedback. So you can monitor yourself weekly. I mean, the injury schemes can get a hands on how well you're starting to recover and all these. So it's these ones are case pilot studies, but in 10 years' time, I believe a lot of these is essential part of our stuff. Yes.
Hi, Sarah Elliott from Woolworths. Can you shed some more light on the common law experience you've seen in the TAC study that you conducted? I'm very interested in how it could be applied to a workers' comp scenario, given the delay between injury to common law.
Sorry, so what's the specific question?
Well, can you shed some more light on the improvements you've seen in the common law case study for the TAC?
Yeah, so what they did is they wanted to have a way to be able to work out which common law lodgements they should be providing services to as quickly as possible, so the ones that were most meritorious, I guess, help them to fast track and receive their damages as soon as possible, versus others that they felt like they needed to investigate a lot more and spend a lot more time working out whether or not they're entitled to serious injury. So they did that by looking at their past experience of common law settlements and the different characteristics of their clients to work out which ones tended to be granted serious injury and which ones didn't. So they used that predictive modelling so that going forward they could look, and it's from the point of lodgement of common law. So in this particular example, they're not trying to estimate whether someone's likely to go to common law as soon as they first see the claim. It's at the point of common law lodgement.
Is there any work to go to that earlier step to identify the markers that may indicate it's likely to go common law?
I'd suggest you have a chat to David Gifford. I know that they have tried to do that, and I think in his opinion it's been very difficult. So I don't know enough about it, but David's the expert on that, and I know he has given it a go. Yeah.
Thank you.
Chow Chow, Peter, you see, would you please expand on some of the challenges, so for example, privacy and stakeholder buy-in, and how those challenges were overcome?
Perhaps I can answer the second part, and I'll let Amanda talk more about the privacy. And I could perhaps answer it with an example. So with one scheme where they were, it was requiring a bit of a culture change in the way that they managed claims. So it was very important for them to get all the stakeholders involved up front, to listen to what their potential concerns were, and then work together with those stakeholders to overcome them or address them or do some further analysis to show them that really the risk that they were worried about really wasn't that big a risk. So it was really quite an involved process to and listening and engaging with them right up front and along the way, and taking their concerns seriously and trying to give them some comfort that they weren't as or if it was a legitimate concern, then to try and work out a way of how to mitigate that risk. So it was very in a continual process of engagement and listening and communicating with them. I'll let Amanda do the privacy one.
So I think in relation to privacy, there are probably two issues. One is, are you breaching any privacy laws? And within injury schemes, it is your data that you're collecting, and there are rules around, obviously, how you're allowed to use that data if it is of benefit to your clients or injured workers. So I think that's the first issue, is what are the laws around how you're able to link different data sources together, and whether you are allowed to use an identifier that links someone that's in your scheme to someone that's in another scheme, maybe external to your scheme. So I don't know if I have much more comment for that first issue related to privacy, other than to say that although there are all these laws in place, I think insurers generally, not just within injury schemes, over time are going to try to work out ways that they can sort of get around those laws. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. The second one is, even if you're working within the laws that relate to you and the regulations that relate to you, there is, I think, concern about making sure that your injured workers feel as though you're using their data appropriately. And so that's where the one scheme talked about just needing to make sure that you prove the reason that you're using it is a good reason. So I think they said often people assume that when a government organisation is using personal information, they're using it for bad reasons, whereas most of the time we're actually trying to improve the results of the scheme and improve the outcomes for participants within the scheme. So it's about trying to explain that's what we want to use it for, not to try to investigate your claim and kick you off benefits.
Do you have any brief comments in relation to fraud detection and the use of data analytics? You just mentioned it very briefly, but is there any more detail around the use of data for fraud detection?
So it's actually a quite interesting case study from the overseas scheme we talked to. So they basically actually build a database, in-house database. They collect from past experience and some of the external sources relate to certain mechanics, certain solicitors has a name, and they try to identify linkages. So when a claimant in this, they try to, I can't remember whether it's on social media or some other sources, but basically identify if the claimant is related to those suspected hotspots, which give a rise to claims. They're not automatically denying those claims, but they definitely, if a linkage is established, they will take a much closer look, or at least have someone going through the files much more in details. So it's about, it's actually related to some of the claim farming. So UK, they had the claim farming started a while back, and this is their approach, basically. It's quite, it actually proves quite successful. They say, a large proportion, they classify as suspicious. It actually was, they managed to do something with their claims.
Okay, thank you. The doors are open, but before you escape, there's two things that you have to do. I saw you, sit down, you wait, two things. First thing, either fill in your feedback form or get on a website, whatever, do that. It is very important that we get feedback for the sessions so that future conferences obviously understand what people enjoy and what works and what doesn't. And then the second thing you can do before you run off is please give our speakers a round of applause while I give them a bottle of wine.